You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
It's a very special morning, as this is probably my last message before we head to Brazil to sabbatical. It's very special to be here sharing to you. Like Jason was saying, I was trying to discern what to bring, but the Spirit kept me leading me to this specific word, and I was like, oh my God, what this should be the last thing that I say before I go. But I just pray that God bless us this morning, bless us and push us to where God wants us to be. So today is like an encouragement, but also a word of alertness, to help alert us to stop and see what God is doing in our hearts, in our lives, what's happening, and what's our posture in His presence. And my prayer is that every time anyone comes here to share, that we encounter the Word of God. You know, it's the Word of God that brings truth to our lives, that brings freedom, that brings healing. And as I speak, and as we go Sunday by Sunday, let us, the words that we're hearing here, take root in our hearts and transform us. We need to be people that are always pursuing and seeking what God thinks and what God desires, what God says, that our lives and our hearts be constantly confronted by His truth. So as I speak today, have this in mind, that we need to be confronted by His word, and we need to let His word transform us. Just want to pray before I start. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for the opportunity of being here. And I pray for each one of us, oh God, that we can hear from you this morning, loud and clear. God, just as we're singing, let this be the time that we stop all the voices, everything that we're thinking or worrying about, and we can really hear you, oh God, and hear from you. Just speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to open Revelation 3. We're going to read from 15 to 16. So Revelation was written by John. And there are seven letters that were sent through the church. So this is Jesus saying it. So we're going to read the last letter that he wrote. And he wrote this letter to a church. This is not here. I just know this name in Portuguese, but it's Laodicea in Portuguese. What's the name in English? Laodicea. There we go. So this is what we're going to look today at, this letter. So Revelation 3, 15 to 16 says, I know your works, that you neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. But you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you may be rich, white clothes, so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. And men as I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and eat with him, and he with me. Okay. So let's dive into what's happening here in this letter. And to start, I was trying to think what could I bring to illustrate a little bit what's happening here. And something came to my mind. Do you know when you've been in a conversation to someone and you just start telling them something that you're really excited about, something that you find cool, and they just look at you and say something, and you realize that what you're saying is not kind of cool thing to say, or you shouldn't be saying that in that way. I remember when I just married Jason, our first year of marriage, we had lots of free time, not like we have now, but we used to see friends quite a lot. There are a few couples in church that were walking with us, helping our marriage, and we used to have quite a lot of older friends that you should hang out with. But there was one particular couple that I loved spending time with, and that was Tim and Dri, the pastor from church, because Dri is Brazilian. So every time we went to their house, we were speaking Portuguese and eating Brazilian food, and it was just a great time. So we used to knock at their door a lot, like random times, 9 p.m. Hello, just come to say hello. And it was always a great time. But when I was preparing this message, I remember this time that we went to see them, and we spent hours with them just talking and eating and, yeah, having a great time. And we got to the car and we're driving back to our house. And I said to Jason, that was great, wasn't it? Did you have a great time? And Jason's like, no. I was like, oh, why? You're like, what was wrong? He was like, you were talking the whole time. Like, every time I tried to say anything, you just interrupt me and you were just chatting and chatting and chatting. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. Do you know when your brain just stopped a little bit? I was a little bit frozen. I just started recounting my mind how was the night. And yeah, I was talking the whole time. Jason didn't have the chance to interact with them or speak. And it wasn't until he said that I realized that actually my attitude there wasn't really good. Because I was, yeah, just talking about myself and talking too much, not giving the opportunity to talk, and the whole idea of spending time with them was for the two of us, not just for me. And we were in the same situation, but yeah, what I wanted to happen there and my actions didn't match. I want both of us to have a good time, but the way that I was doing it, it didn't match. Didn't have the effect that I wanted. And I think the letter that Jesus wrote to the church of Laodicea is a similar tone to the story that I was just telling you, that they thought they were great, that they were shining, that they were living for Jesus and doing all the right things, but Jesus was trying to point out to them that they weren't. Jesus was trying to say to them, hey, look, your life isn't exactly how you think it is. That's quite interesting. It's not necessarily that they were doing bad things, but there is something in their attitude, in their character, in the way they were thinking things that wasn't right. And Jesus was trying to point it out to them. So Jesus said that what they were doing, the way they were living, was causing him to react with disgust. And he said, I'm going to vomit out of my mouth. And he said something like this, I know your works, for you say I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing, but you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. So Jesus was pointing out their lukewarmness, how lukewarm they were. That the work they were doing, what they're doing in their hands, weren't what they supposed to do. So they were saying that they doing things for God, they build life, build this church or build their lives, but there was something missing. They thought they had everything because probably they felt blessed, they felt accomplished, but they were missing the most important thing, and it was God. It was God himself. The Bible says, like, how good is for someone to gain the whole world and yet losing your soul. And I think when I read this Bible verse, this week, because someone sent this in a group that was the first thing that came to my mind was how easy to have satisfaction by the things that we do. You know, we are people that love doing things and building things. We are quite creative for doing things. So it's so easy to let our satisfaction come from the things that we're doing, how we're serving a church, how we're helping each other, even our good decisions. Is funny, like when you have kids and they are figuring out the world, how the world works and how relationships work, and sometimes they do little things and they really expect your reaction, like how you're gonna say, well done, you've done this, and they really expect that. Because we do get satisfaction by what we do. But as we know, when we sung about this and we say many times, our satisfaction should come from one place only, and this place is God. While these things are good and make us feel good, our satisfaction should come from God, from Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, from the revelation and relationship with God the Father, from the movement and transformation that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives. So Laodicea, this church that we just read, they were becoming a self-satisfied church. They were satisfied in themselves, in what they were doing, what they were building. They thought they needed nothing. And that's my interesting one. When you feel so satisfied and so blessed, there's no space for anything else. Some people normally say that it's when you are in a hard season of your life that you seek more of God, because you're so desperate. You seek so much of God. And sometimes it's in the good times of our lives, when we're feeling so blessed, that we neglect that same kind of desperation that we have when you're going through a hard time. And I always think about this, I think about being lukewarm. Sometimes we think of being lukewarm is when you're not kind of doing the things right. Yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not going to church. But here, it was their lack of self-awareness. They couldn't understand the state that they were spiritually. And the word that I want to bring us today is, let us be committed to Christ, but also be committed to understand the state of our souls, to be intentional about our walk with God, and where are we at? Where's God taking us? So what sets a church on fire if you're lukewarm and if they couldn't see? What sets the church on fire is the gospel. It always starts with the good news, isn't it? That we know that God loves us, that He sent His only Son, that He did sacrifice for us. The gospel, he reveals something about God that we can only know through this truth. But the gospel also reveals something about us that is a hard one for us to sometimes assimilate. It reveals how much we need Him. It reveals how much we cannot do life without Him. And I think this is what was lacking in the church. It wasn't just the revelation of who God is, what He can do, but also the revelation, what that means, that I am, of my need of God, that without Him we are completely lost. It's remembering that our righteousness doesn't come from how we serve, what we do, how we live our lives, but our righteousness comes through faith, isn't it? It's the faith that we have that changes us. Letting the Spirit to change us, not necessarily what we do. This is why when Jesus was in the cross and He could say to that guy that does lots of bad things, I'll see you in heaven today. Because our righteousness comes through our faith and not through what we do. So the revelation that I want to bring today, it's a very simple that we all know, is that how much we need Jesus, how much we cannot rely in just creating a life and a routine and our Sunday service, our scripting on Sunday service that make us feel in a space of religious. But we need to create a routine and a life in Sunday service that always reminds our souls and our hearts and our minds of our need of a savior. It's why we sing the songs that we sang today and every Sunday. And we need to be careful to not sing lots of songs. You know, there are quite a lot of modern songs that sing lots about us, our victory, our battles, how we sing, how we do our praise. And we need to really make sure that we sing songs that says what Jesus has done, what he does in our lives, who he is, and declare who he is. So we don't become, again, self-sufficient in our relying in him. And then you remind me of the story of the ungiven servant. There's a story in the Bible that Jesus tells a story about this servant that was in debt with the king. So he had lots and lots of money that he had to pay to the king. The amount so high that it would be impossible for him to pay. And this king forgives him. And leaving the prison, leaving this place, he then meets someone that owes him money, but a very small amount of money, and he sends a guy to prison. And it's just like Jesus saying, he was forgiven, but he can't forgive. And I think this can happen so easily when we don't see, don't understand, don't have the revelation of from what we've been saved from, the amount of our debt with God. And it's the same with us. You know, we've been forgiven. What Jesus has done in the cross has changed everything. And for us, because we heard this so much, I heard this my whole life, it can seem such a simple sentence, such a simple phrase, things that we heard again and again. But it's actually something that changed the entire course of our lives for eternity. We were forgiven for such a big, big high debt that Jesus paid for us. And we can't lose sight of what we've been forgiven of and how much grace and blessing has been given to us through Jesus. So I think lukewarm is not about us maybe Christians going a hard time where we're doubting God or doubting ourselves. It's much more to do with us not realizing the condition of our soul, is our awareness. Where am I with God? Where am I with my relationship of seeking him and meeting him and getting to know him? You know, it's not just our knowledge of him and reading the Bible and getting to know things of the life that we live. This is actually the state of our hearts of desiring God and desiring to be in his presence. And then a story also came to my mind. It's the story of Samson. You guys probably heard this story quite a lot of times. But an interesting part of the story of Samson is that he was blessed by God so many times throughout his life. And if you don't know the story of Samson, his parents couldn't have children. And then God promised that they would have this baby. And they had to do a vow. So Samson was created in a very specific way. He couldn't cut his hair, he couldn't drink, he couldn't touch that things. There are very specific things that Samson had to do his whole life. So in the outside, Samson could be the image of a religious man. There are so many marks in his physical that could point to God, could point to this vow that he made. He had this image. But throughout his life, you see Samson going further and further and further and further away from God himself, from the person of God. And if you read the story, It's incredible to see how many times God shows up for Samson and blessing. So first, the story starts by saying that the Holy Spirit stirred him up. So he was a man that had the physical presence of God, like manifested in his body. Every time his strength showed up. So if you know the story, like he once literally killed a lion with his bare hands. So every time his strength showed up, he had a manifestation of God, the power of God in his own body. And he'd been in trouble so many times and did so many crazy things, but God showed up for him and delivered him many times. So he tasted salvation. He tasted salvation from God many times. But for him, it just became something very normal to his life, something that he even expected to happen. He wouldn't mind not doing the things that God has asked him to do. So throughout his life, as he started this religious man, young man, he starts to deteriorate because his heart becomes so far away from God that everything that he had before stopped making sense. Everything that happened before stopped making sense for him. He just started literally disobeying without remorse. And I think the story of Samson came to my mind because it's so easy sometimes to become common to the move of God. I grew up in a very charismatic church where you would see people speaking tongues, people falling the spirit, people being healed, lots of healing stories. And it's so, so common. I had lots of friends that seen miraculous things that people would love to have seen in their lives, but because it's so common for them, they lost sight of what salvation means, of what being delivered means, of being saved by God means. And I think, today I just want us to have this sense and that God is calling us to never lose sight of what he's done for us, to never lose the wonder of what Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. As Jesus himself says in the letter, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may be rich, white clothes, so that you may be dressed, and your shameful nakedness not to be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes, so that you may see. So Jesus is saying that we need to spend time with him. We need to seek him and find him. Because our righteousness, our salvation doesn't come from the things that he will empower us to do or how he will use us. But the wealth of our lives will come from him, from when we get that gold refined fire, when we get the white clothes that come from him, to be dressed on them, when we let the wrong things and what's happening inside us be exposed. And let him cover our nakedness. Let him be the one that anoint us. And most importantly, let him be the one that oil our eyes so we can see. We can see clearly what's happening in our lives, how God wants to move in our lives. So the most big committed that we need to have in our lives is not necessarily to this place. Of course, when you guys should commit to this place, but the most important commitment that we need to have is with God. And if this is the last thing that I need to say to you guys before we go is every time you're feeling like you don't know what's happening, how you are in your spiritual journey, you just need to go back to your secret place. Go to your room with God. And for some of you, this is a very clear message. You know exactly how to do that. You know exactly how to pray when there's no one around and talk to God and spend time with God and meet with him. But some of you, you don't, you never experienced that before. You don't know what it is to seek him and pursue him, apart from coming to church or apart from going to the small group. And I think it's an invitation from God today to experience salvation. It's not just when we hear or we have this revelation, maybe through worship or maybe through someone doing a powerful word and declaring what Jesus has done. I think the biggest thing that we can experience salvation is in our day-to-day lives, when we see breakthrough happening, where it's just us and God, where we the ones that go to our knees and find him and ask him for help and support and ask him to move. And he wants to be found by us. Yeah, so my prayer for us today is that we have this revelation that we never lose sight what Jesus has done. If you can stand up with me. I was reading an article from John Piper on this Bible verse from Revelation. And he was saying about this thing about being self-satisfied, is that it makes us not desperate. It makes us not desperate for God, you know. We all have different stories. I was in a meeting the other day where everyone was telling their testimony so far, what God has done in their lives until now. It was incredible to see very different stories, but they all point to the moment where they met Jesus. Everyone pointed to the moment when they met Jesus and something changed. We all have experienced salvation in that sense, where we met with the word of God or what Jesus has done, and that changed the course of our lives. But the salvation doesn't stop on the day that we make the decision to follow Christ. It continues. The Bible says is that we are changed from glory to glory, and there's change happening in our lives all the time when we are engaged with him. We still need to be saved from so many things, but we need to be desperate. No, we need to. When people, I grew up in a place in Brazil where you should have lots of gold, some mines and things like that. When people were looking for gold and perhaps have decided they could find, I don't know, in their garden, they would look desperately for it. And in our lives, we need to live in a certain way where we continue desperately looking for gold, that is Jesus, for that gold. Like the Bible verse said, be refined in the fire. So it's so easy for that to lose in our lives, the desperation for God, the desire to seek him, for this to become just a common and normal thing. I was sharing with some ladies about the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was very young, Ellie's age actually. And for years, I've been praying, like, God, I really want to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was praying, and it finally happened. I had this amazing experience with God, and everything changed. But I think the most important thing that happened that day, just like the Bible verse says, there's this ointment that God puts in your eyes that helps you see. Suddenly, there are so many things. I was very young, but there are so many things in my life that I started to see throughout different lenses. That I realized there are so many parts of my life that I need to invite Jesus to save me from, or to do that part of my life in his way, in his strength. And from then, I actually started to become more desperate for God. I remember a point of my life when I was 15, And something, again, changed my spiritual life, where I started to become very hungry for God. And I started going to every meeting. So like, oh, they would have Monday worship practice, I'll be there. They would have a lesson on the ministry of the people doing sign language, I'll be there. And just knowing that if I go where God's speaking, He would speak to me. He would speak to me, and He would. He was. Literally every place that I was, I would. Oh, that Bible verse I would write down. There's a moment when you realize how much you need of Him, then you start seeking Him more. Sometimes when you eat, like I'm the type of person that eats a little bit every day, like during the day I need to eat lots of times. I cannot eat a massive meal all at once. But if I have breakfast in a few hours, I feel very, very hungry. Sometimes the more you eat, you get more hungry. And I think this is the invitation that Jesus is saying to us today, that we need to eat Him more to increase our hunger. Do you know, sometimes it seems so simple, like worship here. I'm trying to worship with you, Joanna throwing pens and the girls making noise. But I need to be desperate. I need to be desperate even in that moment, like 5 seconds of quietness. Lord, I'm here. I'm showing up. Please don't let me not be a part of what you're pouring out here this morning. Like, we cannot miss those opportunities. It may be a small group, my continuous house. It's so simple. Someone sharing something a little bit crazy, like, what's going on? Let me be desperate even in that moment. Like, oh, Spirit, why are you speaking here? Let me not missing out what you're trying to say. You know, sometimes it can be a date with our husband. And I know God speaks to us, even when we have people that don't believe. I've been at university talking with random friends. I just felt the presence of the Spirit, like, huh? What's going on? So, Lord, what is that you're trying to speak in this conversation? And He was trying to say something. You know, our life with God is not when I open the Bible and do my prayer in the night. It's all the time. And we need to be desperate for Him all the time. You know, this church, they were thinking they were doing really well because their appearance, just like Samson, look very religious, look very from God. But the inside, they were so unaware what was actually going on. And we need to be people that are aware what the Spirit is trying to do in our lives. You know, is He trying to move me this way, this direction? This thing in my life is not happening really well. God, I'm desperate for you, for your salvation. What is that you're doing? Speak to me. Our relationship with Him needs to be that close so He can bring that transformation. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that even when I mumble words that it's not as polished as it could be, oh God, you still speak because it goes beyond of who I am. God is who you are. God is what you've done. God, let us never, never lose wonder of the salvation that you brought to our lives. Oh God, the grace that we so not deserve that you gave us. Oh God, let our words in our day-to-day life declare and praise, oh God, you are what you've done. Jesus Christ, what you've done in the cross changed everything to us in our lives. And thank you that even the future and the hope that we have, and the things that we're praying and believing for, oh God, the things that we have yet not seen, they come from you. God, in our big satisfaction in all of this, in all that we pray for, God, and come on Sunday and pray for revival, so that we can see you more and know you more and love you more and praise you more. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. And when we think that you come and that you fill us up, it's not just we have a cool experience, but it's that we can live our day-to-day lives from glory to glory, being transformed. Now, God, I pray that you help us being aware of the state of our souls. And then we can say, just like Paul said, but everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let this be our prayer. I pray that you fill each one of us today with the desire of knowing you more, oh God, that let not just be our appearance, our routines to tell that you we serve you, oh God. But let be our hearts and our souls be the ones that tell us every day how much we need you, how much we desire you. God, Spirit, teach us how to do life with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Is more you eat, the more hungry you get. Just in a second, we have a prayer for anything in particular, people up here, so our power. I really encourage you to do that, even if it's nothing related to what you share today, what's been going on today. So just a couple of notices for this week before we wrap up. This Wednesday is a free week. There's no the spoons. It's been a month already. Group last week. So in that case, I'm hungry. Spoons is Wednesday, about 7 to 3 or 8 o'clock. For the fellowship. It'd be great to see you guys there. Next Sunday, we have a bring and share after church. It's going to be our last Sunday here before we head off. When you get here with food, bring it into the kitchen. Allergy information, what's in it. That's just a very simple practical thing. So, well, those will be here in each other well. Picking off what allergy information is going to be helpful. And I think it will be Leslie and some of the guys setting up next week. So, just give them space and grace as you kind of bring food in, because it's not a huge kitchen. Yeah, we do come in, put it on the side, make sure that he's aware of it, and pick up on the allergy sheet. There are baptisms in Hereford, for those of you who may be interested, on that 29th of September. If you guys here are interested in baptisms, hopefully we'll get our own baptisms. Just a couple of last notices. Offering in the back, it's not a black box today, it's a bowl. So I've got a box at home. So please drop them in there, make sure it gets to the right place. If you're not yet part of our WhatsApp group, guys, thanks for being here today. Thanks for turning up and thanks for being part of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Thank you.